It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from the golden age of radio. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levinier. Coming up in this hour, sitcoms. A bit later, we hear Ronald and Benita Coleman in the halls of Ivy. Right now, it's The Great Gildersleeve, an episode from October 18th, 1942 on NBC, just a little bit into their second season, with Lillian Randolph, Walter Tetley, and Harold Perry.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve. Company, who also bring you Bing Crosby every Thursday night, present each week at this time Harold Perry as The Great Gildersleeve, written by John Wheaton. Now let's join our friend, The Great Gildersleeve, who has been carrying on a feud recently with the water department. 2 weeks ago, he got up a petition complaining about the water pressure. But all the action he got out of Commissioner Clanahan was a large hole dug in his front yard, which has been there ever since. This morning, we find him at the barbershop, where he's gone to carry his fight to the people, while Floyd takes a little off the side.
Yes, sir. I told him, Clanahan, I'll give you exactly 24 hours. I said, either you get that hole fixed up, I said, or I don't pay my water bill.
That's telling him. What did he say?
He said, you don't pay your bill, and I'll turn off your water.
That's telling him. What did you say?
I said, the pressure's so low now that I wouldn't know the difference. I said, go ahead and turn it off.
That's telling him. What did he do then?
He turned it off.
Yeah, that'll fix him.
Yeah, but what am I going to do for water?
Oh, come in, Mr. Peavy. You're next.
Oh, I see you're busy, Floyd. I can come back.
Oh, no, no. I'm just finishing up with Mr. Gildersleeve here. Won't be a minute. Sit down. Take a load off your feet.
Well, good morning, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Hello, Peavy. How's the drug business?
Well, to tell you the truth, Mr. Gildersleeve, it's been a little slow. But then it always was. I guess I can't complain.
Well, that cold spell we had last week must have boomed things for you.
Well, now, I wouldn't say that.
Well, there were a lot of colds, people all over town coughing and sneezing.
Yes, there were, and we did have a little flurry in cold remedies, but then the soda fountain fell off.
Well, things are bad all over.
Yeah, what's the use? Government's going to take everything we make over $25,000 a year anyway. Now, I'm not going to kill myself.
Yes.
Would you like a little something on it, Mr. Gildersleeve?
What do you got, Floyd?
Oh, you know, Wild Root, Lucky Tiger, Ed Pinaud's. Got them all. I got a new one, too. Roses of Picardy.
Roses of Picardy. That sounds nice.
Yeah, smell it.
Give me a little of that.
I put some on Mr. Peavy the other day, and he had a lot of nice comment on it, didn't you, Mr. Peavy?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. The time you put that on me, Mrs. Peavy made me sleep in the guest room.
You might have told me before he got it on me, Peavy.
Gentlemen, gentlemen.
Oh, morning, Judge.
Good morning, Judge Hooker.
Hello, Floyd. Peavy. Well, Gildy, I suppose you're feeling pretty good.
Pretty good about what?
About Clanahan.
The way I feel about Clanahan, I could be arrested.
But don't tell me you haven't heard.
Heard what?
Clanahan's quit.
He quit?
Yep. He turned in his resignation last night. So the town is now without a water commissioner.
It was without a water commissioner before Clanahan quit, too.
You're right, Gildy, and you deserve all the credit for getting rid of it.
Well, now, I wouldn't say that.
Oh, yes, you do. You got up the petition. Of course, I outlined it.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, yes, I did. But I don't want any credit for that.
No, I can see that.
I signed it, remember?
So did I.
We all did. But our friend Gildersleeve here is the one who circulated it. He gets the credit. Of course, you know who they're talking about for water commissioner now, don't you, Gildy?
No, who?
Oh, come on, don't be modest.
What do you mean?
Use your head, Gildy. Who is the obvious man for the job? Why, of course. It isn't official yet, so I wouldn't say anything about it, but the town council's meeting tomorrow afternoon, and they tell me it's just a formality.
But, Judge, I don't even know that I'd want the job. I mean, I haven't even thought about it. I mean, Floyd, get this thing off of me.
Hey, wait a minute. Aren't you going
to... I haven't got time. Here's a dollar. Keep the change. Where's my coat?
What's your hurry, Commissioner?
Holy smokes. He never tipped me more than 15 cents before.
You know, some people will believe anything.
What do you mean, Judge?
Yep. You can fool some of the people some of the time, and you can fool some of the people all of the time. But Gildersleeve fools himself.
You mean Mr. Gildersleeve isn't going to be water commissioner?
Well, don't tell me you fell for it too, Peavy.
Yeah. Some people will believe anything.
But I think Mr. Gildersleeve would make a very good commissioner.
What's that got to do with it? This is politics. What do you think Clanahan resigned for?
Well, he has his coal business and the hay, grain, and feed.
And the hardware and half his brother's plumbing business.
Yes, and he also has a son-in-law that he's sick of supporting.
Yeah, Harry Holzapfel.
You watch. Day after tomorrow, Harry Holzapfel will be water commissioner.
Nothing, my dear. It's nothing, really.
But you've been running.
Not particularly. Be calm, my dear.
I am calm. What is it?
Sit down.
You better sit down, too.
Oh, I'm quite all right. I think I will sit down, though. Now, tell me, my dear, what have you been doing with yourself all morning?
Uncle Mort, what is it?
Oh, that. Well, Marjorie, I have a little piece of news for you. You and Leroy, where is he?
Oh, he'll be back in a minute. Now, what's the news?
Well, it isn't official yet, but Judge Hooker says it's practically in the bag.
What? What is?
Marjorie, how would you like it if your old uncle were commissioner of the waterworks?
Commissioner? You mean...
Uh-huh.
Wonderful. Uncle Mort, that's wonderful. It's wonderful.
It's not as wonderful as all that.
Oh, yes, it is, and you deserve it. You did the whole thing yourself. Oh, Uncle Mort, I'm so proud of you. Mm.
Well, public service has its compensations, I see.
Leroy! Leroy, come here, quick!
What's up, Marge?
Oh, are you back, Uncle? Leroy, Uncle Mort's going to be water commissioner.
Yeah.
Well, Leroy, did you hear me? Uncle Mort's going to be water commissioner.
What does it pay?
Leroy.
I haven't the faintest idea what it pays, young man, and furthermore, I don't care. I've been asked to serve the community, and I intend to serve it to the best of my ability. I wonder what it does pay.
Miss Marjorie.
Oh, Bertie, come here.
I'm coming. Yes?
Bertie, guess what?
Oh, I'm no good at guessing.
Uncle Mort's going to be water commissioner.
My goodness, if I'd known that, I'd have baked the cake.
Well, it's not too late yet, Bertie.
Oh. Oh, you're going to have to do a lot of things, Bertie. When you answer the phone, you're going to have to say, Commissioner Gildersleeve's house.
Excuse me, Miss Marjorie. Residence.
Oh, residence.
Yeah.
And we must see that the laundry puts more starch in his collar.
Hey, wait a minute. I can't stand stiff collars.
That makes no difference. You're an important man now, and you've got to dress the part. You can't wear that baggy old suit another day.
But this is my best suit.
It's your only suit.
Well, I can't wear more than one suit at a time.
I know, but you shouldn't have to go to bed every time you have it pressed. You're going to be a busy man.
You're right there, my dear.
You don't want people saying, there goes Mr. Gildersleeve, the worst-dressed water commissioner in town.
No, but the well-dressed man today isn't the man with pleats in his pants. It's the man with shiny elbows.
In another few weeks, you aren't even going to have elbows. I think you ought to go out and buy a new suit, Uncle Mo.
Well, maybe you're right, my dear, but it'll have to be for the duration.
And another thing, you ought to have a decent photograph taken for the Indicator Vindicator.
Oh, what would they want with a photograph of me? Do you think I ought to have a profile or a full face?
Panorama, Uncle.
Very good, Leroy. Very good. A little fresh, but we're overlooking things today.
Oh, come on, Uncle Mort. We've got a million things to do. Let's get started.
Now, wait a minute. There's one thing first. Remember, all of you, this is not official yet. So not a word to anybody. Bertie?
Oh, not a word.
Marjorie?
Not a word.
Not a word.
Now, just slip this jacket on for size, will you, Commissioner?
Commissioner? Oh, well, of course, that isn't for publication yet. Oh, this isn't the kind of suit I had in mind. I thought maybe something like a cutaway, something more official.
No, I'm sorry, but cutaways are out, government regulation.
Nobody wears cutaways anymore anyway, Uncle Mort.
The young lady's right. I personally wouldn't be caught dead in one.
Well... How about something double-breasted, huh? Dark blue, maybe, with a pinstripe.
Oh, I'm sorry, but double-breasteds are out, too. The regulations.
Oh. Well, just run me up a nice loincloth. Oh, wait a minute. There's a nice piece of material. I like that one. Let me try that one on.
Uncle Mort, that's yours. That's the one you wore in here.
Is it? I always did like this suit. I think I'll stick to it. Goodbye.
Oh, goodbye, Commissioner.
Look present, please, Commissioner.
Commissioner. Well, I'm getting kind of used to it.
Look this way, please. No, a little more the other way. No, now a little more this way.
Uncle Mort, you're looking cross-eyed.
How can I help it? I'm looking six different ways at once.
We must try to be a little patient. Now raise your chin just a teensy bit.
A chin? Which one?
That's better. Now hold it like that while I fix this light.
Hurry up, will you? My nose is itching.
There. Now give me a nice big smile.
Never mind the smile. Take your picture.
Hold it. Oh, it's a beauty. You'll want a dozen for your friends. Thank you, Commissioner.
Oh, Uncle Mort, there's something else you ought to have.
What?
Stare in the window.
In the window? What would I do with a girdle? Don't answer that.
Oh, not that window. This one. See? The briefcase.
I don't need a briefcase.
Oh, but you will. You're going to have lots of important papers.
Say, I guess that's right, Marjorie. I'd better... good morning, Mrs. Ransom.
Oh, Mr. Gildersleeve, what a small world. Why, only this morning I was trying to call you.
Oh, were you indeed?
Yes. Hello, Marjorie.
Hello.
I was planning to invite you to dinner tonight. I'm having fried chicken.
Oh, my... I'd love to, Mrs. Ransom, I'd love to, but unfortunately, my time is not my own these days.
I'm having candied yams.
Oh, brother. No, I'm sorry, Leela. Pressure of official business, you know.
Oh, well, I think I'll just run in here for a minute, Uncle Mort. Will you excuse me, Mrs. Ransom?
Certainly, darling.
I'll be back in a minute.
All right.
Well, Throckmorton, if you're so frightfully busy, I guess you shouldn't be wasting your time with me.
Oh, Leela, you don't understand. There's something I want to tell you, but I can't just yet.
Well, you can always confide in me, Throckmorton.
Oh, thank you, Leela. It has to do with a matter that's been uppermost in my mind for the last few weeks.
Well, I can't imagine what you're talking about, Throckmorton.
Well, I can tell you this much. An important decision is going to be made tomorrow that may affect my whole future.
I can't imagine what that would be.
Well, I'll give you a little hint. Think of water.
Water?
Uh-huh. Lots and lots of water. Thousands of gallons a minute. Do you begin to understand?
I think I do. Will you and I be there?
You and I? Where?
Niagara Falls.
Oh,
after a sleepless night and a morning spent at the library reading up on waterworks, he approaches the eve of his expected triumph in a spirit of humble dedication to service. With a special meeting of the town council only an hour off, he's preparing a statement for the Indicator Vindicator.
Read that back to me, will you, my dear? That last.
Oh, when interviewed, Mr. Gildersleeve said, "This honor comes to me as a complete surprise."
Yes. But I am prepared to say at this time that I propose to give to this community...
Yes?
What was I going to give it? Oh, yes. A clean administration, clean management, and clean...
Clean water.
Clean water. Have you got that, Marjorie?
Yes, go ahead.
After a preliminary survey, I feel that I can say, without fear of contradiction, that no city, town, village, or hamlet from Maine to California can boast a finer, healthier... more nutritious tap water than Summerfield's. Let's keep it that way.
Good. Now, we've got to hurry this down there if we want to catch the paper before it goes to print.
I'll take it. I'll go on my bicycle. Give it to me.
Oh, wait till I address the envelope.
Don't forget to put the photograph in. Here. Which one do you like best?
They're all terrible.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think this one is bad.
It looks like Victor Mature with a mustache.
Well, perhaps there is a resemblance. I can't help that.
Hurry up and pick one, Unc. I've just about got time to get down there.
Oh, dear, I can't decide. I think it's between this one and me pounding my fist and the one where I'm pouring a glass of water. Maybe that's better for water commissioner, that little tie up there.
Too bad he didn't get you in the bathtub.
Remember, Leroy, see that it gets to the editor. Don't give it to anybody else. Insist on giving it to Mr. Powers.
Okay, Unc.
Where's the fire? Anybody home?
Oh, yes. Come in, Judge.
Hello, Gildy. When are you going to get around to taking your screens off?
Gosh, I don't know, Judge. I've been pretty busy here lately. I guess I'm going to be a lot busier.
Doing what?
Well, water commissioner's no part-time job, you know.
Water Oh. As a matter of fact, Gildy, I wanted to speak to you about that.
Huh?
I wouldn't say too much about that if I were you.
Oh, I'm keeping it quiet. But I wanted you to know, Horace, that I'm grateful to you for what you did.
We all are, Judge.
Wait a minute now. I didn't do anything.
Oh, I know. You'll deny it, you old son of a gun. But somebody put in a good word for me with the town council, or I wouldn't have got this appointment.
Gildy.
All I want to say is, Judge, I hope I'll get a chance to do as much for you sometime.
It was sweet of you, Judge. It really was.
Oh,
yes. No. We've had a lot of scraps together, Horace. But when you come right down to it, well, I'd go to bat for you any time, and I know you would for me. You've proved that.
I wish you'd listen to me, both of you.
Just a minute. I'd like to show you something first. A little statement I got up for the Indicator Vindicator, you know, a sort of a speech of acceptance. I sent it down there with my photograph.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you make a carbon copy of that, Marjorie? I'd like to show it to the judge.
Oh, I'm sorry, but Leroy took the only copy down there.
You haven't sent it to the paper already.
Why, of course. So it would make tomorrow's edition at the same time as the announcement.
You've got to stop him.
Why?
Yes, why?
I don't know how to say this, Gildy. I blame myself. I really do. But I wouldn't count on that appointment too much, old man.
Why not?
Because you don't stand a chance of getting it.
But you said yourself...
Why, you told him, John.
I know, and I could bite my tongue off for doing it, but I never thought you'd take it that seriously, Gildy.
You mean the whole thing was nothing but a joke?
I'm afraid that's about the size of it, Marjorie.
But I can't believe it. You wouldn't deliberately...
Gildy, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. Well, if you'll excuse me, I guess I'll get at those screens. Excuse me.
Judge Hooker?
Don't say it, Marjorie.
You can't do that to my uncle.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I'm a mean old man and I hate myself. Believe me, I wouldn't have done this. I wouldn't have had it happen for the world.
Well, you're going to do something about it. Have you got your car here?
Right outside.
Oh, we've got to stop Leroy before he gets to the paper with that statement. The whole town will be laughing.
All right, come on.
Can't you go any faster, John?
I'm going 35. We're almost there. Right down the block.
There's Leroy.
My rubber.
Leroy!
Hi!
Oh, we're too late. I know we are. Did you deliver it, Leroy?
Yeah, sure. I gave it to Mr. Powers
himself.
Oh, dear. Why, what's up?
Well, I can't explain now. I haven't got time. But hurry home, Leroy. Uncle Mort needs you. Judge, you wait right here.
Marjorie, where are you going?
I'm going in to see the editor.
I'll come with you.
No, you won't. You've done enough.
All right, Marjorie. Just as you said.
Where's Mr. Powers' office, please?
Right straight ahead.
Well, come in.
You're Mr. Powers, aren't you?
That's right.
I'm Mr. Gildersleeve's niece. And go ahead and laugh.
Well, now, sit down. Take it easy.
Oh, I know it all seems very funny to you. Have you read it?
Yes, I've read it.
Well, I won't try to explain how it happened, Mr. Powers. It was a mistake, and I guess it seems pretty silly to you. But my uncle doesn't know very much about newspapers, and neither do I.
Mm-hmm.
He was just trying to do the right thing. You see, somebody told him he was going to be appointed water commissioner.
Well, I thought nobody wanted it but Harry Holzapfel.
Harry Holzapfel. That's just what's wrong with this town. It's full of Harry Holzapfels. There aren't enough people in it like Uncle Mort. They're all trying to figure what they can get out of it instead of what they can put into it.
Maybe you're right.
And I'll tell you this about my uncle. He's a good guy, and he really would make the best water commissioner Summerfield ever had. Because it means a lot to him, and the town does, and he's interested in it, and he studies about it, and he just...
Now, wait a minute.
And another thing. Do you know he got up a petition all by himself?
I know all about that. Gildersleeve's a good man.
Of course he is. And I'll tell you something else
about
him.
Now, wait, young lady. You don't want to tell me. You want to tell the town council.
Oh, I just wish I could.
Well, they're meeting over at town hall right now.
But they'd never let me in.
Well, they'll let me in. Power of the press. But come on, I'll get my hat.
Leroy, when I think of the countless errands I've sent you on, and how few of them you managed to complete successfully... Why did you have to deliver the goods this time?
Marsh, I only did what you told me.
I know, but you ought to warn me when you're going to do things like that. Oh, how can I face these people? How can I face Mrs. Ransom? How can I even face Peavy? What am I going to do?
Well, you can always join the Foreign Legion.
This is no time for quips and sallies, young man.
Well, you asked me.
Yeah, but I know what I could do. I could join the army.
Are you kidding?
Not a bit. Service of my country, the uniform, they couldn't laugh at that.
No, they couldn't.
Why, George, I'll do it. I look like a million in that uniform in 1917.
You look like 10 million now, Unc.
Good afternoon, Sergeant.
Lieutenant.
Oh, sorry. Is this where you join the army?
Well, that depends. Is this for yourself or for a friend?
Myself. I want to enlist for immediate duty overseas.
Oh, I want to see the world, huh? Why don't you try the Navy?
Lieutenant?
I am a captain.
Pardon me. I've been recommended to the Navy, Captain. I'd like to join up.
I see. How tall are you, mister?
5'8½".
And your weight?
230.
Gross or net?
That's in my shorts.
Who recommended you to the Navy, mister?
The Army.
Oh, they did, eh? Well, why don't you go tell it to the Marines?
Oh, General?
I'm just a sergeant, Bud. What's on your mind?
I'm thinking of joining the Marine Corps. I want to see some active service.
What gave you that idea?
Well, it's a long story. My nephew suggested the Army, but the Army suggested the Navy, and the Navy suggested the Marines.
I see.
How about it? Do you think you could consider me?
I'm afraid not, Bud, but I'll tell you what we will do.
What?
We'll consider the nephew.
Oh!
How'd you come out, Unc? Not so good, huh?
5F.
Why, Zeph, what's that?
Flat feet, fat, flabby, and 44.
Oh, well, you don't want to feel badly about it. I tried.
Yeah. You know, Leroy, I don't suppose any man ever thinks of himself as old, even when he's 80. But I realize it today for the first time. I'm old.
Oh, you're not old, Dunk. You've got a lot of good mileage left yet.
They don't want men like me, Leroy. It's the 18 and 19-year-olds. They've got the courage and the pep and the endurance. It's a young man's war and a young man's world. I ought to turn myself in for scrap.
Oh, now don't talk like that, Unc. I know. How would you like to go to the movies? There's a swell bill at the Majestic.
No. What's playing?
Eagle Squadron and the Battle of Midway.
You go, Leroy.
I don't want to go, Unc. I'd rather stay here with you.
Mr. Gillespie, I made some of that special coffee cake you like. Could I give you some?
No, not just now. Thank you, Bertie.
It's hot right out of the oven.
You might leave it, Bertie. Perhaps Leroy would like a piece.
No, thanks.
Leroy, what's the matter with your uncle? What's the matter with you?
Nothing, Bertie. Everything's fine.
I don't know what come over everybody in this house. Can't sell no coffee cake. You know what I think, Mr. Gillespie?
What?
I think you're worrying too much. I think it's that waterworks. You ought to give it up.
Yeah. Bertie, go bake a cake.
Doggone, I don't know. Things are sure different around here. They ain't the same.
Well, there's Marjorie.
Leroy, don't say anything to her about the army.
Okay.
Uncle Mort?
In here, my dear.
This way, Mr. Powers.
Thank you.
Uncle Mort, you know Mr. Powers of the Indicator.
Oh, yes.
I just came over to congratulate you, Commissioner.
Yeah, Commissioner.
And to thank you for that little statement you sent us.
Oh, that.
I don't think Uncle Mort understands.
We've just come from the town.
Well, you tell him.
We've just been to the meeting of the town council, and I'm delighted to report that your appointment went through without a single dissenting vote.
You mean that I...
He's water commissioner? Uncle Mort, I'm so glad.
Water Commissioner, Commissioner of the Waterworks. I don't mind telling you, Mr. Powers, this means a lot to me.
It means a lot to Summerfield. And I want you to know that the indicator is back of you 100%.
Oh, thank you. Have some coffee cake. Have a glass of water.
Well, don't care if I do.
If water, Commissioner, wait till Judge Hooker hears about this. The old goat, he wasn't so far wrong at that. You know, he said I was the obvious man for the job.
Oh, you were?
Well, you think so, too?
Certainly. The only other candidate had just been drafted.
You've had a pretty big day. I really think you ought to go to bed now.
You're right, my dear. I guess I'll take my book to bed with me.
What is that book, anyway, Unc?
The Lives of the Presidents.
The Lives of the Presidents? What are you reading that for?
I just wanted to confirm an impression. I have a distinct recollection that in 1874, William McKinley was Water Commissioner of Buffalo. Good night, everybody.
By Billy Mills. This is Frank Bingman speaking for the Kraft Cheese Company and inviting you to be with us again next week for the further adventures of the great Gildersleeve. This program reached you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
And the great Gildersleeve character would remain Water Commissioner throughout the rest of the show's run through the early 1950s. That was the great Gildersleeve from NBC from October 18, 1942. You're listening to Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVigneur, with you for an hour of sitcoms. Straight ahead, a tie-in to our first broadcast, The Great Gildersleeve was actually a spin-off series of The Fibber McGee and Molly Show, where Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve was the neighbor on the program in Wistful Vista. Don Quinn, the writer of Fibber McGee and Molly, invented that character and invented the next program we'll hear called The Halls of Ivy, a comedy he said he always wanted to make set in academia. With film actors Ronald and Benita Coleman, we hear this episode from June 18, 1952 on CBS called Closed for the Summer.
Good evening, this is Ronald Coleman.
And Benita Coleman.
Inviting you to join us again on the campus of Ivy College. And now, the Halls of Ivy.
Welcome again to Ivy. Ivy College, that is, in the town of Ivy, USA. Dr. William Todd Underhall, president of Ivy, starts this week on his vacation, accompanied, need we say, by his charming wife, Victoria. And here in his administration building office, metaphorically putting up the shutters, cutting off the utilities, and stopping the milk delivery for the summer, we find Dr. Hall and his secretary, the indispensable Miss Goodson.
Well, let's finish up, Miss Goodson, before we have another influx of bon voyage visitors and footloose professors. Now, is there anything else before I shoulder my knapsack and wander off through Bug and Fen?
There are two letters to sign, Dr. Hall.
Only two? That's splendid. For me to get through the college year as a two-letter man is quite an achievement. Which two are they?
One of them is a personal note to Mr. Wolfe of Business Administration, who left us to go with an advertising agency in New York.
And a three times the salary we could give him, I'm happy to say. With his energy and personality, he'll make a fine... what is the term?
Huckster.
Yes. Probably from the Middle English word huckle, meaning haunch. Because destiny seems to have shaped his ends for an executive chair. And the other letter?
To Professor Alvin Weingand of the English Department, congratulating him on his new publication called What's a Good Word?
Ah, yes, a real contribution to the living language. Professor Weingand advocates a positive approach to popular usage.
My mother always took a negative approach, She used to tell me always to remember that the only word which occurs naturally in the English alphabet is N-O. No.
Well, I salute Mother Goodson. All right, now I'll sign the letters. Where is my my fountain pen?
It's being repaired, sir, at that little side street shop in Ivy.
Oh.
You always say that while the proprietor may be slow, you rather like his nibs.
One priceless witticism for a $1 repair job. It takes 3 weeks. Now, let me see. The Wolf letter. There we are. And the Weingand letter. That's that. And now what, Miss Goodson?
That's all, sir. You're through. I'll take care of anything else that needs doing. Your traveler's checks, road maps, and motor club material are in this envelope. I hope you and Mrs. Hall have a lovely summer, sir.
Thank you. And in this envelope, you will find a small contribution toward your summer, Miss Goodson.
Thank you, sir.
And I thank whatever powers may be who watch over college presidents for sending me such a flawless secretary. And now, will you call Mrs. Hall and tell her I'm on my way?
She knows, sir. I called her while you were talking to Professor Heaslip. I said you'd be home in 45 minutes. You have a full 12 minutes to make it. Dottie, oh, you're home.
Uh-huh.
I hope you folded your overalls neatly and left your lunch bucket in the locker and punched the time clock right in the nose.
Yes, I even had Miss Goodson disconnect the electric clock in my office, thus saving the college at least 11 cents in electricity over the summer.
This is an idea from far left field, but a stop clock somehow reminds me of Mr. Willman.
It does? Why?
Because even a stopped clock is right twice a day in spite of itself. Well, the observation isn't original with me, of course, but... Yeah, oh, speaking of time, aren't you home rather earlier than you'd hoped?
Yes, and we'd have finished much sooner, except for several professors who dropped in to wish a happy summer.
Oh, when Miss Goodson called, she said you were deep in conversation with Professor Heaslip.
Deep is the proper term. Oh. 40 fathoms at least. Heaslip, as you know, fancies himself a Shakespearean scholar. And I suspect dreams of himself playing Hamlet in doublet and tights.
Professor Heaslip in tights is not a dream, Toddy. It's a nightmare.
Yes, and it's regrettable that with a voice like Sir Henry Irving, he should have a figure like Sidney Greenstreet.
Well, I'd have said Lou Costello, but between Greenstreet and Costello, you can split the difference. And also the tights.
Well, Heaslip has a new parlor game. Designed, I think, for literary show-offs and intellectual snobs. I did quite well at it.
Well, go ahead, snob darling, and show off for me. What's the game?
Well, I don't know that it has a name as yet, but it might be called Here's Your Hat and Quote. or Block That Reference. The idea is that your opponent indicates a nearby object or suggests a brief situation, and you must counter immediately with a Shakespearean quotation, giving the source.
Oh, you mean if you say Heaslip, I snap right back with... They have been at the great feast of languages and stolen the scraps. Love, labor, lost, act four.
That's it, exactly. And very good, Vicky, if I may say so.
Well, thank you. I'm all tuckered out now.
Yeah. I must confess, I was quite carried away with the game.
I'd like to hear you two play it sometime. Maybe I could enjoy seeing Professor Heaslip carried away. Give me some more samples.
Well, I pointed to that plaster bust of myself that one of our art students made a few years ago, and Heaslip promptly said... Why should a man whose blood is warm within sit like his grandsire cut in alabaster? Merchant of Venice, Act One.
Not bad. Then what did he give you?
Well, he indicated a small puddle where the water cooler had leaked. So I said, great floods have flown from simple sources. All's well that ends well.
That's brilliant, darling. I bet you can beat Heaslip hands down at his own game.
Well, my final triumph was a bit fraudulent, I'm afraid. As he was leaving, he said, man bites dog. And I said, the biter bit, 'tis only just, it is a bitter bite. Coriolanus, Act Three.
Well, it's marvelous. Coriolanus, I don't remember that line.
No, dear, I invented it for my own nefarious purpose. And Heaslip didn't challenge it. He was obviously afraid it would expose his own ignorance. But enough about that, my sweet. How have you occupied yourself today?
Oh, packing, repacking, calling up about the lights and the gas and the water... Cleaning out the refrigerator and fighting bees.
Bees in the refrigerator? Well, I must say, you're a thrifty little helpmeet, raising your own honey. Don't your bees get a trifle lethargic at freezing temperatures?
They weren't my bees.
Oh, borrowed bees. Well, it's a novel touch of neighborliness. I say, William, will you run next door to the Quincannons and borrow a cup of bees?
No, William, the bees weren't in the refrigerator.
Oh.
They were swarming in that big old oak tree out in front, and a lot of them got into the house.
And how did the beautiful and ingenious Mrs. Hall cope with the matter?
Oh, the clever Mrs. Hall's first thought was to run screaming out of the back door. The second thought, the fly swatter. Third and best thought, our natural history department. And they sent a man over who lured them away with a queen bee.
Girl crazy, hmm? And after coming in the house and seeing you, Vicky, I can't blame them.
Well, thank you. And I don't remember that Shakespeare said anything apropos of that situation.
Oh, yes, he did. Yes. Midsummer Night's Dream. Lord, what bees these mortals fool. Of course, you see, there's a slight transposition necessary, if you understand.
Well, yeah, you explain it to me sometime.
Will, yes. Excuse me, darling. Dr. Hall speaking. Hello, Professor Warren. Well, thank you, Joe. Well, I was a little hurt. A parade of professors through my office this afternoon, and no Joe Warren. But what are your plans, Professor? You are, and you got your license this afternoon. Good for you. Well, thank you for calling, and we'll see you next fall. Bye, Joe.
Professor Warren, you got a license? What, not marriage?
No, dear, fishing.
Oh.
Oh, he says he's going up into some remote part of Canada for the summer. I wonder why...
What's the matter, darling?
Well, it's just occurred to me that... Oh, well, they're probably busy packing, too. Although it does seem that one or two of them might have... Oh, but maybe they tried, and I was too involved with Heaslip. Still...
William, what on earth are you trying to say? Who might have tried to do what?
Well, Vicky, do you realize that not a single student has called on me or telephoned to say goodbye or good luck?
Oh, Toddie, I don't really think that means anything.
Did any of them call here while I was gone?
No, but...
Well, that's even stranger. They consider you practically one of them. I, being the president, might be considered too aloof to be the object of such intimacies, although I have tried to maintain really now, don't you think it odd?
Well, yes. Oh, but darling, maybe they don't realize we're leaving today.
Well, Vicky, I mentioned it in chapel yesterday morning.
Oh, well, don't worry about it. My goodness, they all love you and you know it. Come on now. Now, what did the other William have to say about that?
What, about falsely assuming a personal popularity? Well, now, let me see. Yes, yes, there's the speech in Measure for Measure. But man, proud man, dressed in a little brief authority, most ignorant of what he's most assured. His glassy essence, like an angry ape, plays such fantastic tricks before high heaven as make the angels weep.
As we return to the halls of Ivy, we find Dr. Hall just coming back from loading the last suitcase, tennis racket, sunglasses, camp stove, and reading material into the car.
I think that does it, Vicky. And from the looks of the back seat, the rear deck, and the glove compartment, we are thoroughly equipped for a 3-year safari through darkest Wyoming. Are you ready to leave?
Yeah, I think so. Let me check my list again. Now then, let's see. 64, 65, 66. Item 67.
67? What, may I ask, is the total number of your memoranda?
Well, in round numbers, 88. Oh. Those are about the roundest numbers I could think of, so I'm not that. But item 67 says, don't forget BB. What do you suppose I meant by that?
BB. Couldn't mean just BBs because I'm not taking my air rifle. A bundle of blankets. A box of biscuits. Bread and butter. Stop me if I'm getting warm. Barrel of bicarbonate. Bait for barracuda. Bank book.
Yeah, that's it, thank you.
Well, why do we need that? Considering that I've drawn practically all our available funds in the form of traveler's checks, The bank book would merely be an unhappy reminder of better days. Yeah,
not the bank book, Toddy. Your bird book.
Oh.
Do you remember last time we took a long trip and you'd see a purple-billed swamp goonie or something? And you'd go something mad trying to identify it.
Yes, yes. And thank you for remembering. Where is the book?
Oh, it's in the car. I loaded it first thing so I wouldn't forget.
My darling, I don't know what I should do without you, and I hope I never find out. Well, is your list all checked off?
Yes, I think that's everything. Now, if you'll wait while I put on my face...
Wait. Did I hear the telephone?
No, but if it had rung, you would have, because you're practically sitting on it.
Hmm. Thought I felt it ring.
Toddy, you're not so worrying about not hearing from the students.
Well, no, not worrying exactly, but I do think it's strange that none of them called.
Well, there's probably some very simple explanation, but we're both such complicated characters, we can't think of it.
Well, last year, for instance, we were besieged by youngsters and their friendly farewells.
William.
I can't think what I may have done or not done. I've chided them now and then, yes, but I've also consulted them.
William.
Helped them.
Toddy.
Advised them.
Darling.
And to leave for the summer without a... Yes, Vicky?
Look. I won't consider spending the summer with a college president who's brooding about not being played off the campus with a string quartet.
Oh, my love, it's not that.
And I don't want to have you running out of gasoline because you forgot to fill the tank because you were wondering why the senior class didn't line up on the front porch to kiss us goodbye.
All right, and if you're referring to the time we, or I rather, ran out of gasoline in our little rented English car in Devon. Was it Devon?
Oh, yes. What a lovely day it was to run out of petrol. But then you always thought of the nicest things to do.
I still remember the red sandstone cliffs and the surf and the seagulls scolding us for the intrusion. Miss Crumwell.
Yes, Mr. Hall?
I am an American. My entire family were pioneer Americans. Mayflower. The revolution, if you'll pardon the reference. I am proud of my American heritage, but I regret to inform you that being unused to English automobiles with their smaller fuel capacity, we are out of gasoline.
Oh, well, I don't think Parliament will call a special meeting about it. Besides, when you think that part of the Spanish Armada was wrecked near here after storms and scurvy and hunger, why, running out of petrol seems a little trivial, doesn't it?
Yes, particularly as we passed a village not 2 miles back. Or is it kilometers? Or shillings?
Oh, well, let's just call it a brisk walk. May I come with you?
May you? Oh, but I warn you, with you the walk will not be brisk. I shall prolong the journey to the point of dawdling.
Well, you've known me so briefly that you probably don't realize that I'm a girl guide.
You are?
Yet with 3 merit badges for dawdling, sauntering, and meandering.
And I am an Eagle Scout who has just laid an egg as a motorist. Miss Crumble, will you do me the honor of accompanying me to yon hamlet, whatever it might be called?
Oh, I'd love to, Mr. Hall. And the name of the village is Appledore.
Thank you, girl guide. You know, I still feel slightly apprehensive about leaving a car parked on what is to me the wrong side of the road. Do Americans ever get accustomed to using the left side of the street?
Well, I think they rather enjoy it. Why, I've always heard that the American attitude toward oncoming traffic was, let's face it. Well, look, suppose we take a shortcut across this nice fat meadow.
All right. Ah, what lovely country this is. Every part of your England seems to have its own particular brand of beauty.
I imagine America does too. But beauty is in the eye of the beholder, they say. Why are you staring at me?
Oh, I guess I'm just a beholder with beauty in my eye. You are beautiful, you know. I never realized how rosy your cheeks were.
Well, you're looking at me through the rose-colored glasses of Devon. Why, everything around here is rosy. The cliffs, the apples, the deer, and even the sheep have a reddish tinge.
Yes, and look at the fuchsias outside that cottage.
Yes.
I don't know how science accounts for this rosy aspect, but I have a theory which explains it to my satisfaction.
Well, science is always so impersonal. I think I'm going to like your theory better. What is it?
Well, my theory, to account for the local pinkness, is that your presence raises the blood pressure of the countryside to such an extent that the result is a breathtaking blush.
Oh.
Did you say the name of that village is Applecheek?
No. It's Appledore. And I must warn you, this part of the coast is to be taken very seriously. They say from Padstow Point to Lundy Light is a watery grave by day or night.
Yes, as witness the Spanish Armada.
Yes.
Miss Cromwell, Victoria.
Yes, William?
Do you think you would like America?
Why? But what an odd question. I'm sure I would, but why do you...
Oh, just keep it in mind and think it over. I may have another question. A more or less related question to ask you on
the... telephone, darling.
No, not on the telephone. Darling, did you call me darling? Miss Trumbull, are you...
William, hurry! It's the telephone, onto the phone.
How could a telephone ring way out here? Oh, the telephone.
Oh,
yes.
I'm sorry to bring you back from wherever you were, darling. You had such a blissful expression on your face.
Well, I was in Devon with you. And a happier combination never existed, at least until you married me.
Maybe it's a student.
Oh. Dr. Hall's residence. Yes, who? Archie Scott, a sophomore, yes?
See what I tell you.
I see, Mr. Scott. No, I'm sorry. I'm making no further appointments. I'm leaving on my vacation, as I announced in chapel yesterday. you'd forgotten that. I see. Hmm. Well, I'd suggest you see your faculty advisor. Yes, goodbye.
Well, no good luck and Godspeed?
No, the young man wanted to consult me about a change of courses. He'd heard me announce our departure, but it has slipped his mind. Mind. I use the word so loosely, it is in danger of falling out of the sentence.
Well, don't be bitter, dear. Now, here's your hat, here are the keys to the car, and fly number one faculty row. Cheer up, Toddy. We're on our way. Now, wave goodbye to Wellman Hall. It won't wave back, but no Wellman has time for little frivolities.
I'm sorry, my darling. It was just the thought of departing without a friendly pat on the head from at least one student.
William, look. What's going on? The road's blocked off ahead.
Hey there. What's the matter? Something wrong?
It's him. It's Dr. Hall. Yes, Dr. Hall, there is something wrong.
What is it, Jimmy? What's wrong?
Well, the art department was making up a beautiful scroll for us to wish you a wonderful summer and thanks for everything, but some idiot spilled a bottle of ink over it. We talked him out of shooting himself. I don't know why. But all we could do then was stop you on your way and say goodbye.
Oh. Well, thank you. Thank you all very much.
You just kept Dr. Hall from shooting himself, too.
Well, I haven't got a speech ready, Dr. Hall and Mrs. Hall, but speaking for everybody in this academy of yours, I can say we wish you a wonderfully happy vacation, and if you've got room for it among your luggage, you're taking the affectionate regards of everybody with you. Take care of yourselves, because we'll need you in September. May we sing you on your way, sir?
Oh, you may indeed. And thank you again.
Not too good now, or we may decide to stay.
Okay, everybody. The Ivy Alma Mater. For a couple of friends.
Oh, we love the halls of Ivy that surround us here today. And we thank you.
William, didn't Shakespeare have a word about this?
Oh, yes, my love, in The Tempest, remember? Our revels now are ended. These, our actors, as I foretold you, were all spirits and are melted into air, into thin air. And like the baseless fabric of this vision, the cloud-capped towers, the gorgeous palaces, the solemn temples, the great globe itself, yea, all which it inherit, shall dissolve. And like this insubstantial pageant faded, leave not a rack behind. We are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little life is rounded with a sleep. Good night.
Played by Lee Patrick, and Jimmy was Gil Stratton, Jr. Tonight's script was written by Don Quinn. Music was composed and conducted by Henry Russell. Ken Carpenter speaking.
The Colemans on the Halls of Ivy, a CBS radio broadcast from June 18th, 1952, bringing to an end this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.